The Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day Fellowship presents The Way It Ought to Be, with the good news of the Kingdom of God coming to the earth and how you may prepare for it and avoid the calamities just around the corner.
This is Pete Hornbuckle with The Way It Ought to Be program. This world is driven by selfishness, lust, greed, vanity, pride, jealousy. These things are the foundation of Satan's world. And that's the world we live in, my friend. We live in Satan's world. That is his way and his world's way. There's still some good and bad mixing these traits. You would think selfishness, lust, and greed were the three main ingredients that he deceived Eve into taking on in the Garden of Eden. So I think we would be on safe grounds to say he planted at least three of his traits in mankind at that time. And no doubt Satan considered that a great victory for his agenda. I don't believe that Adam and Eve took on his whole mind, all of his traits, at his first attack. As a matter of fact, I know they didn't, because it takes Satan time to put all of his traits into the heart and the mind of mankind and make them ironclad, and we'll bring that out as we go on in this series of programs about what Satan has done to this world. Neither do I believe that he took all of their mind, their good traits, away from them at that time. Their good traits that God had given them at creation, and the good traits that you and I were born with as well. Neither do I believe that he got nearly all of their mind or their good traits. He still had other traits to give them. He still had vanity, pride, jealousy, hatred, rebellion, and a defiant attitude of mind to give mankind. He made idolaters out of them as well in the garden. That's another trait that he planted in them, because they refused to obey God and they began obeying Satan, which is idolatry, putting another god before the true God. But you see, he still had a big job to do, and he has been and still is very busy trying to complete his job. So what was the rest of his job after he gave, by deception, that is, planted in man, his traits of lust, greed, vanity, jealousy, pride, hatred, and a defiant attitude of mind and rebellion, and all this against God and his word and God's will and God's laws? He had to cultivate all his traits and make it a permanent part of you. He had to make it a mindset in you to the point you thought and acted like Satan himself. I might just mention he had completely perfected all his traits in mankind within less than 1,700 years after he began his job of giving man all his traits. Yes, once he appeared to Adam and Eve, or to Eve in the Garden of Eden, he completed his job in the pre-flood world within less than 1,700 years. He had to bring mankind to the point that man would cleave to him, you might say, with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength. And that's the point that he had brought the world to before God destroyed the pre-flood world by the flood. And he had accomplished that in everyone except, it seems, but Noah by the time of the flood. Now, it takes time for Satan to plant all his traits in you and to make them a part of you. Now, we don't know exactly where Noah's wife, sons, and three daughter-in-laws were at that time. Maybe they were in the process of changing, of building the mind of God. And maybe because they respected Noah enough to restrain themselves from totally cleaving to Satan as the world had come to. And the fact that God wanted those six to repopulate the earth with their offspring. But the point is, Satan not only gave all of his traits to man, but he finally accomplished the task of taking all of man's good traits, which were represented in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, away from man. Now, we see many good traits in the human family today. Satan hasn't completed his job since the flood, but he is still working on it, my friends. He hasn't given up. He is getting closer to completion. And as it were in the days of Noah, so said Christ, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Now, we have thought for years and years, at least in these United States, When we have seen America going down, we have thought things are bad. When we began to see the wickedness pick up momentum back in the 60s and from then on to now, we have thought that Christ could return any time. But no, Christ isn't going to come for a while, my friend, because Satan hasn't brought the world to the point that he had the world at the time of the flood. And don't let anyone tell you and make you believe that Christ may come tonight or tomorrow. That's not true. And I can tell you on the authority of the Bible that Christ will not come within the next 3 or 4 years. But he is coming, and the world is speeding that day. Yes, we're speeding that day because we're coming to the point more and more daily of being like they were in the pre-flood world. Because Christ said, as it were in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Seems Satan not only gives his evil deeds to man, but as he gives his evil deeds to man, he takes the good on a human level away from man. Or is it that he is busy taking our good traits from us and replacing his traits? That's what eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil has done to this earth. Think about that, my friend. Adam and Eve made a terrible mistake when they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They began the process of putting on Satan's mind, his attitude, and his character. Romans chapter 1 describes the world as it has been ever since that day. Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 16, I want you to notice what Paul had to say about the world that was in his day as well, and before the flood, and the world that is in our day today. Paul is describing the world that we have lived in and the world that we live in today. And the world is the way it is because we have obeyed Satan and not God. In Romans 1, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation." Paul is speaking about the Bible. He is speaking about the truth. He's speaking about pure and true religion and true and pure salvation. "For everyone who believes," he said. Now, it isn't everyone that believes today, is it? Now, you and I, we know that, don't we? "For the Jew first and also for the Greek." In other words, everyone that believes God and obeys God. "For in it the righteousness of God," now he's talking about the gospel of Christ, the word of God, if you will, "for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith." Yes, from our faith to the faith of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're supposed to build, is a faith of Jesus Christ. "As it is written, the just shall live by faith." And if you don't live by faith, my friend, you will not be living for God Almighty. You will not be living His way. Because what you see and hear and understand around you is not God's way in most cases. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." Do you know that the truth is suppressed today? The truth of righteousness, the truth of God's word? It is suppressed. It isn't taught. You weren't reared in the truth. We grew up in Satan's world. We grew up hearing lies. We grew up hearing the way of Satan and seeing the way of Satan all around us. We took on his traits. We have all eaten from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Paul goes on here in verse 19, "Because what may be known of God is manifest to them, for God has shown it to them." Yes, my friend, mankind knew God in the beginning. They knew God after the flood. This nation, the United States of America, once knew God and knew God for a long time, but we don't know God anymore. Verse 20, "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." This world is truly without excuse for not knowing God. Because, as God says here, what you see in creation will tell you that there is a God. And we have God's word, and we could read it, and we could understand it if we're willing to obey it. Many people today doesn't even believe there is a God. How far out can we be, my friends? and those that believe there is a God, they don't believe that you really have to obey God the way that he said to obey him. Verse 21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. That sounds like the world that we live in. Paul is describing the world from the beginning of the garden, from the beginning of man, you might say, down to this time and right up to the time that Jesus Christ returns to take this earth away from Satan, to bind him for 1,000 years, and to establish his kingdom and his throne and his government on this earth and teach mankind the right way to live. Paul said that we profess to be wise, they became fools. Well, does that ring a bell today, my friends? Are we a wise people? Are we a wise world? Do we understand? We can't even solve small problems, much less big problems. Yes, we claim to be so educated, and yet we don't know how to get along with our wife, our kids. We don't know how to have peace and joy and happiness and contentment. Are we all that wise? Maybe we should ask ourselves that question. Verse 23 says, and change the glory of the incorruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things that began in the Garden of Eden. Paul is speaking about idolatry here. We live in a world of idolatry. God knows that, and you and I, we should know that. And that's what Paul is speaking about. We turn to idols instead of the true God. We have left the true God, and we worship everything from A to Z, you might say, and forget all about God. My time is up. We'll pick this up in our next program. You need to keep listening to this because you need to know and understand what Satan has done to this world. You need to know and understand how to resist Satan and his demons and the pulls of society that he places around you. You need to understand about Satan. You need to understand his purpose. And I'm bringing them out in this series of programs. We have a couple of booklets that will help you to understand more than I'll have time to bring out in these programs. They're free of charge, of course. And all you need to do to receive these booklets is to call us, the Marble Hill Church of God, at 573-238-3675, or you may email us at thewayitoughtobe@hotmail.com, or you may order online, www.thewayitoughtobe.org. The title of these booklets are The Devil, You Say. This will help you to understand more about Satan and his plan and what he's up to, my friend, and what he's doing and what he has done to this world and where he's going to bring this world to. Another book that we have will help you to understand even more, Seed of Satan. Satan began sowing his seed to mankind in the Garden of Eden, and he hasn't let up yet, and he won't, my friend. This is Pete Hornbuckle on behalf of the Marble Hill Church of God. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for listening to Pete Hornbuckle and the Way It Ought to Be program, presented by the faithful members and co-workers of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, located on County Road 300, one block north of the Cat Ranch in Marble Hill, meeting Saturday, the Sabbath, at 2 p.m. You can listen to our previously recorded broadcasts or order free literature on our website at www.thewayitoughtobe.org or call us at 573-238-3675 or email us at thewayitoughtobe@hotmail.com. Our address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764.